Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
A lot of things that I have been talking to the Lord about the last couple of weeks, about our vision, and actually for the past the end of last year, 2 weeks ago, we shared our vision for 2018. And my main emphasis, if you weren't here 2 weeks ago, and you can look that up on podcast and hear what was said, but my main emphasis that we talked about for CMC this year is we're not going to get our understanding of living a Christian life from our culture, from our world around us, and what they say a Christian should be. We are going to stand on the Word of God. That's what we're going to do at Christian Ministries Church. And we're going to make sure that what we say, what we do, how we operate lines up with the Word. If you have your Bibles, if you have your phone, if you have it printed out, whatever you have, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. Our vision for this year comes from these verses, chapters 1 of 1 Peter, verse 15 and 16. But now, you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. If you have watched during our worship and you've been paying attention to the words, our worship team has done a great job of talking about a holy generation, being holy in all that we do. You know, as we look at the usage of the word holy, we can see to live a holy life is to live a life in conformity or obedience to the moral teachings of the Bible. And we have a generation that says don't conform to anything. So see, the world's trying to tell you just be yourself, do whatever you want to do. But the Bible talks about we are to be holy as He is holy, and God is very consistent. His word doesn't change based on our culture, our environment, or what someone else says. His word's the same. He is the same. And He asked us to be like Him. And so we've come on, we got to get some consistency in the Christian life. And so as we're talking today about this, a verse that I wanted to use today, Ephesians 4, verse 22. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from Him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Well, we have a responsibility. And we've got a culture that, for the most part, has left the idea of being in right standing because we serve such a loving and graceful God. Go do whatever you want. And then He's going to love you anyway. And we hear that from our culture a lot. And here's what I'm telling you. We do serve a loving God who does care about you, but He doesn't want to leave you doing whatever you want. He wants to get you into a place. He wants you to get into a place to where you can live holy. See, since you've heard about Jesus, how many remember when you first heard about Jesus? Some of you are, I mean, you were an adult. You were later on in life, and you heard about Jesus, and you started learning and realizing, there's some things in my life that I got to change. See, I can't keep living the way that I was living. Now, other of you were raised in church, and you got saved in church. You were very young, and you just always lived a life that to you is holy. The problem is, it can't be to you. It has to be to Him. Since you heard about Jesus, so it doesn't matter if you were 4 years old or if you were 34 years old. Since you heard about Jesus and you have learned the truth, the problem is we got a lot of people that learn about Jesus, but they don't learn the truth. But since you, Christian Ministries Church, have learned about Jesus and you have learned the truth that comes from Him, not from our culture, from him. Come on, this is just right in what we're talking about this year. Throw off the old junk. Throw it off. You know, when you throw something, most generally, if you have any strength at all, it gets to a place that's out of your reach. When you throw something off, you don't just reach right down and pick it back up, do you? But we've got people trying to say, okay, well, I know this was who I was, but now I'm right here. That's not a throw. A throw is a long ways away from you. And I'm just telling you, had you known me before and you know me now, you can tell there's a lot of things that I've thrown off. Now, when you get to know me better, you'll see there are probably some things he's still working on me with. And all of us could say, I've got those areas. But we've got today, that's why we're in church this morning. We're going to get equipped to go out and do what God's called us to do. And part of that is getting rid of some of the old, former way of life. Church holiness is basic to the Christian life. Why does the church, God's kids, the believers in the Word, seem to be conformed oftentimes more to the world than they are to God? But we all see it. We all see that. Major problem. It's because we have lost the ability to understand grace and works. Now, I want to talk about this because what I'm seeing in our culture, in our society, is a real misrepresentation of the Lord in this area. We've taken living by faith to mean that no effort on our part. See, I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to take what God did through his grace and sovereignty and all that he is, and I'm just going to say, he forgives me, and so now I can just live however I want. There is a works that the Bible talks very specifically about. Just receiving God's grace, we don't see a joint venture between God and man. And God set it up as a joint venture. You and him together. God always does his part. Guess who's the failure in this? Come on, if we're to be honest, every one of us have our hands raised. God's doing his part. We got to do our part. You know, the farmer gets this in the way they operate in life. And we have some farmers here. We have some people who get this concept. But the farmer cannot do what God must do. A farmer understands that. And God doesn't do what the farmer has to do. But to get the harvest, a farmer has to plant, has to tend, and take care of his part. But know this, he's also got to trust that God will send rain, sun, and actually grow that seed. Because there is nothing he can do except for tend, take care of, and make sure that he's done his part, and then he relies totally on God to do his part. See, a farmer gets this concept, and it's not too far when we're talking about our lives and a life of holiness. You're not going to get holiness without God, and you're not going to get it without you doing your part. See, it takes both. A life of holiness that God calls us to live requires a lot of work on our part. A lot of work. Without God and what he did, living a holy life is not even possible. We get that. But for us, it takes a lot of work to die to the old nature. A lot of work. You know, you can put away a habit of sin when you get in your heart that I'm going to put away this habit of sin. God, please help me. And he will. The problem is you keep going back to it. You didn't throw it off. You didn't get it away from you. And we've got to address these issues in the church today. Teaching on sin against a lifestyle that God hates has got to be what the church teaches. See, God says certain sins, certain things that we are under his wrath. But today's culture is saying we're okay with it. So the people of God, us, the church, has got to be bold enough to say that lifestyle is a sin. You can say it however you want, but the Bible says it's sin. And we've got to teach and preach against things that the Bible teaches and preaches against. We can't just leave those things. No, it's just a little sin they're dealing with. It's not a real big deal. All sin separates you from God. And we're trying to reestablish that in our lives. We can't accept things that our world has begun to accept unless we deter from the word. And I'm just telling you, it's not going to put you where you want to be. The question, is this church willing to call sin, sin? This isn't a message that I expected a lot of amens from. And I understand that because it's very direct. And when we're talking about a lifestyle of holiness, the Bible is very direct. Not determining in life whether a sin is big or little, it's sin. See, not regarding whether or not it's acceptable in today's society, it's sin. And when God forbids it, his people who are being holy as he is holy must forbid it. CMC members, when you and I hear the vision, when we start thinking about the vision or our theme for 2018, Holy Generation, don't panic and don't run to your preconceived idea of holiness, whatever that is. We've got to get a biblical definition. See, what we see that the Bible says about this is very clear. God wants you blessed, prosperous, and fruitful. That's what God wants. He wants that in your life. God wants your homes filled with joy and peace. Let me just tell you, that comes from you doing your part, and God will do his. See, God wants great relationships between parents and teens. God wants your finances in order. Whatever you bring in, he wants that in order. And there's a way to do that. I just talking to someone this morning about how we've been working on this for the last couple of years, and I'm starting to see God's plan works. Just line it up, it works. See, God wants fellowship with his kids. We're his kids. God wants fellowship with you. How much time are you spending with him? None of that is possible without living life with God. None of it's possible without that. See, we can't live it based on what our world says. Well, I go to church every Sunday. That doesn't put you in a holy standing. The theme, Holy Generation, we are not doing this year to ruin your life. We're not doing this to ruin your fun. We're not trying to ruin your enjoyment, the things that you find pleasure in, your friends, your time. We're not doing any of this to ruin anything. The theme, Holy Generation, is exactly the opposite. It will allow you to live life God's way, which then becomes fun, enjoyment, pleasurable. Your time, your friends, your activities all of a sudden have a purpose that you never saw before. Sin brings heartache, pain, and suffering. Holiness does not. But we've got a generation, my generation and older, that quit talking about holiness because we saw it as painful. We saw it as hurtful. We saw it as not producing for us. But I want to just continue on in what we've been talking about, that this year's theme, this year's life pursuit, there will be greater joy for Christian Ministries members as they get a hold of this truth than you've ever experienced before. I can proclaim that. I can believe that if you will do your part, and I promise you God will do his. It's us that's the deficit here. You will experience peace in your life that you never dreamed possible. Now, I'm just telling you, you will have to continue to say that, live that, walk that out, and you can watch it start to happen. Boy, I just don't know, Pastor, if I can. That's because you're looking at the circumstances of life to produce something that the circumstances of life will never produce for you. God alone will. And I know that's a tough one, but if I'm going to stand on the word, I got to stand on the promises. And the promises that I read continually all through scriptures, don't forget, don't forget, don't forget, don't forget, don't forget God, don't forget God, this, God, that. As holiness becomes your pursuit, you will experience the abundant life that God has promised. Oh, Pastor, I just don't know that I believe that. Come on, don't go on your believer, go on his. He said it, he promised it. That's what no amount of sin will ever produce for you what God will produce. people today saying that the church is just not where the culture is. You hear it all the time. The church just isn't where the culture is. You're going to have to, come on, Pastor, you're going to have to bring your thinking in line with the culture. And if you don't, you're looked at as old-fashioned. I know. I hear it all the time in different church cultures. The church is just getting out of touch with the culture. Thinking like the world while in church is ignoring the holiness message. And we're not going to do that. Romans 12:2. Y'all with me today? Good. Your faces are showing that. I love that. Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Come on, there are some thinkers that are off base. And we all have them. They're right here. Our thinking gets off base. And it says, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Church, God's will is good for you. It's pleasing. It's perfect. That's God's will. There's a problem. There's a problem. We live in a fallen world that's trying to take our thinker the wrong direction all the time. But CMC members, 2018, we will not be conformed into thinking like the world. We're going to think like the Word. That's what we're going to do. We have a responsibility. And I was thinking about a passage that really makes us responsible. In Mark 9:42, Michelle and I had the privilege, and you've heard me talk about this a little bit, of going to the Holy Land several years ago. And we were in the church where Jesus actually said this. And we got to see what they say was the actual stone that he was pointing to when he said this. And I'm just telling you, if there's a rope tied to that and a rope tied to you, you get a hold of this message really quick. Here's what it says in Mark 9:42. If you cause one of the little ones who trust in me to fall into sin, it'd be better for you to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone hung around your neck. Whew. This stone would have been as far as from here to those steps. It was giant, a millstone. And I saw it sitting there and I thought, I don't want to cause anyone to sin. I don't want to cause, because Jesus was real clear. If you do that, you'd be better off to be thrown in with that thing tied around your neck than what you're going to face. That seems pretty bad. And it's going to be worse than that. Come on, we can't be deceiving the naive about sin. Let me say that again, because that was really good. We can't be deceiving those that are naive about sin. They may not know that it's sin, but you do. They're naive. Don't jump in and agree with them. You'd be better off to have that millstone around you and be thrown in the sea. If that's better, then I'm going to be really careful that I'm not leading these little ones, or I'm not leading someone who does not have the knowledge of sin into an okay status with sin. That's why you'll never find me voting for or legislating something that the Bible clearly calls sin. That's just not going to happen. And so I don't care what party you're affiliated with, look at what the party stands for, and you'll never have me voting for something that okays sin. Why? Because I'm not going to lead anyone naive that don't know that sin, and I do, into that. That's being holy as he is holy. Jesus didn't beat around the bush. He said, this is the way it is. Church, don't get your answer from the news media or from Facebook. Now, I understand that Facebook's becoming an old thing of the past now. We've had it a while, and now there's a bunch of other social media outlets. Many people are deceived because they hear who they see as Christian people leading them into an okay status with how they're living. And we got to be careful. See, I don't decide moral or ethical standing based on what people think. Come on, hear me today. I'm not going to base what I see as moral or ethical on what someone said on Facebook or what the news media says. I'm not basing that on their statement. I got to base it on the Word of God. We've got to start this year out thinking about what we can do to move towards the holy life God called us to live and how to respond to others who are not living that life. Now, obviously, you can't take love out of the picture, but love will tell the truth. And so there's a way to tell it in love, and I know that that's the hard part, but it's our part. It's our part. We got to do that. Jesus told us how to influence others. Here's what he said. Love them and preach the gospel. Love them and preach the... And the church has failed miserably at both. Love them and preach the gospel. What's the gospel? The gospel is also referred to as the good news. And I'm here to tell you this morning that God can transform your life and turn all the junk into joy. Not because he's going to change it all to your liking, but because he'll take your focus off of that and onto him. That's how that happens. He's a personal God, and regardless of what the world throws at you and what you experience, you've got to get a new definition of morality, of righteousness, a new definition of marriage, a new definition of sexual orientation that's different than what the world says. See, that's got to happen. I serve God. That's what we've got to say. And his definition's what I'm clinging to and I'm living by. We have to love those that do not look to the Bible as their definition of all things that the culture is defining for them. Young people, y'all are dealing with this more than anybody I know. In school, in friendships, in circles you're at, we've got a new generation of young people who are trying to let social media and friends be their definition of what God thinks. And I know that's got to be hard. When friends at school are all saying this and you're in that little group or you're in that circle of friends, and how do I stand up? And they're wrong in what they're saying, but I just don't know how to do that. Until they experience God's transforming power as you have, they're not going to get it. It's the transforming power of God that brings knowledge and that brings an understanding. So I've got to do everything I can do to influence everyone I come into contact with. I've got to vote right. I've got to think right. I've got to talk right. And I've got to think, is what I'm saying getting ready to move them further away from God, or is what I'm going to say move them towards the things of God? Well, you got to ask those questions before you open your mouth. And therefore, your thinker's got to be in line. This morning, I want to leave you with a thought that I want to expand on more in the coming weeks. But today, Proverbs 4, verse 20. A lot of things to think about here. Proverbs 4, verse 20 says, "My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep, deep into your heart. For they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body." Well, cling to the word. Verse 23, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Avoid all perverse talk." What do I do when they start talking? The Bible says avoid all perverse talk. You can just walk away. Avoid perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. Look straight ahead. Fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on a safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. Come on. There is a way that seems right, but in the end is death. And we've got to be aware of that. And when perverse talk starts happening, when corrupt speech is taking place, you better remove yourself from it and get back on the path that God called you to be on. Verse 23, "Guard your heart above all else. It determines the course of your life." Notice that it says guard your heart. It says guard your heart. Here's what's implied. You guard your heart. You guard your heart. That TV show that you've got on needs to be turned off. Well, here we go. We're talking about holiness. Absolutely. And I'm talking about how to live the blessed and abundant life. You better guard your heart and get back on the right track. See that? Boy, I just listen to whatever music I want to. You better guard your heart. Because what's getting in your heart will come through your ears. Well, I don't even know what it says. Well, then that's stupidity. You better know what that song's saying. See, it doesn't say God will guard your heart. I have yet to have God turn my music off. It just works. When you turn it on, it goes. The Bible says guard your heart. It doesn't say the pastor will guard your heart. It doesn't say that the government, come on, will guard your heart. It doesn't say social media will guard your heart. Well, all of my friends are Christians. It doesn't say social media will guard your heart. You're in charge. Come on, you're in charge of guarding your heart. And let me just tell you, it's a full-time job. It's a full-time job. The condition of your heart totally depends on the things you allow in your heart. So you can look real quick. Well, I can't believe y'all have a coffee shop there. Let me just tell you, this is an opportunity for you to be around like-minded people that are sitting under the word, that are trying to move forward in life. Guard your heart. Get here early on Sunday mornings. Guard your heart. There's enough fighting in families on Sunday mornings, I already know. Get up and go to church and have a cup of coffee and guard your heart. Guard your heart. It's a full-time job. Many people don't guard their heart. Many Christians don't. And they'll allow things to come in, they'll allow things to be said, or something that gets in their heart that is broke. It's not right. It's not according to the word. And every one of us have allowed things like that to happen. We'll allow someone to say something we know is not right with the word of God. And the next thing you know, we're saying what they said. Come on, everybody here has done that. Everybody here has found themselves in a position where, okay, am I saying this because I know this is the word of God, or is it just because so-and-so said it? Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Let me tell you where purity comes from. It comes from God. Not from social media, not from the news. It comes from God. If we're wanting to hear from God, if we're wanting to know God, if we're going to keep from what's going on in the world that's trying to take our freedoms, we, church, have to guard our heart. Proverbs 23:7 in the New King James says, "For he, as he thinks in his heart, so is he." And there's a constant battle going on every day to win your heart. What gets in your heart comes through your mind. It comes through a voice. It comes through something. You are like a computer being inputted to all the time. What are you allowing to input into your mind that's getting in your heart? What is it? Let me tell you what it needs to be. It needs to be the voice of God. And you've got to allow your spirit man to filter what's going into your heart. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in, and he will give you direction. But if you're not spending time with the Holy Spirit, then oftentimes you're not aware of listening to him when he's trying to give you some thoughts. He's trying to give you right thinking. What we allow to come in comes in so many ways. And I mean, a computer, a phone that hasn't been programmed is useless. And we're trying to find, come on, y'all hear me today. We're trying to find significance in life based on what our output is to everybody else. If your input's messed up, your output will be messed up. And if you say, well, I'm just not going to do anything. I'm just going to be a hermit. You're like a phone that's not been programmed. It's useless. See, but a phone that's been programmed and you have all these cool apps on it, somebody did all of that, and then you can use it and it could be really fun and cool. What are you allowing in that's programming you? Is it a mom and dad who don't serve the Lord? I know we have. Is it relatives that this is the way they think and they're all the time jabbing at you? Or is it the Holy Spirit revealing truth through the word of God? and the worship music coming on in my car, and I'm programming myself daily so that I have the right response when I've got to give one. See, what we've been taught growing up, what our parents taught us, what our neighborhood kids taught us, what the TV taught us, what we learned in the schools we attended, what we were taught by social media, what we read in a book, what our society says, what the news media does, what we learned in Sunday school, what we learned in camp, what we learned at Bible school, what the pastor has said, what the Bible taught us because we read it daily, which one is programming you? You've got to go through that and make this list and say, okay, this one is contradicting this one. And when that happens, you've got to rebel against one. And I just don't want the church to be rebelling against the word unintentionally, because they're filling themselves up with input that's not leading to a holy life. We are exactly what we've been programmed to be. You are being programmed every day. My question to you today is, where's your heart? I want to encourage you today. If you're not daily programming your heart and life with the right input, chances are holiness isn't coming out. Let me just say that again. If you're not daily, because there's something going into you every day. If you're not daily programming the right input, then holiness won't be the output. And God says, be holy as I am holy. Therefore, we got to guard our hearts. Allow your input to come by first accepting what Christ did for you and making his program available. If you're not saved, don't leave this church today without coming and saying, Pastor, I need to be saved. I need to know Jesus. Because you won't have input without that. So you got to open the door for the input, and that's what Jesus did by dying on a cross for you. But the second thing is your responsibility. You guard your heart. Well, how do I do that? Read your word. Daily, the word's trying to get stolen from you. And know this, if you're not continually putting it in, before long, it's gone. Keep putting in. Third, build and work on relationships with God, the Holy Spirit. God is so big and so available and is so consistent. We find our lives inconsistent. Get a hold of somebody who is consistent. And then you'll find yourself starting to say, I can't agree with that. I can't go there. Oh, what they wrote is not right. By building true friendships that you can come into agreement with and stand on the word, the Bible says two are better than one. So show up early to church. Stay a little late at church. Be here on Wednesdays. Go to life group. Get around some people. Amos 3:3. Can two walk together unless they agree? You know, I'll just tell you, if I'm not in agreement, it's very hard to walk the same path with somebody. You'll find that those paths separate when there's not agreement. You can't walk on the same path with someone who's wanting to walk a different path very long. It's just not going to happen. The Bible asks that question. Can two do that without agreeing? Come on, church, we got to be in agreement that this year, 2018, we as a church are going to be a holy generation. We're going to operate different. We've got to transform our thinking to see life like God sees it. And as we begin to see life like God sees it, our behaviors change to be more like him. But when you're not seeing it the way God sees it, know that your input's wrong, therefore your output's wrong, and you're not going to experience a holy generation. And if you're not going to experience the holy life, then you're not going to experience the abundant life, the blessed life, the peaceful life. All the fruits of the Spirit that you could walk in daily are not going to happen if you're not guarding your heart and working on being holy as he is holy. Come on, we got a lot to learn, a lot to talk about this year. This is going to be a great year, and it's going to take us to a place we've never, never been before.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.